Good morning and welcome. This is Your Call. I'm Renee Kemp, sitting in for Rose Aguilar. The United States has some of the fastest, most efficient mail service anywhere in the world. But that might be hard to prove these days if you live in, say, Berkeley. There have been recent reports that some Bay Area residents, including many in Berkeley, have been getting their mail late at night, sometimes even past midnight, sometimes not at all. Turns out mail carriers are having several challenges. The election season mailers were a challenge. Holiday packages are starting up. And there are some institutional issues, too. There is a unique healthcare spending requirement that the Postal Service is struggling with, and it comes from Congress. We're going to discuss that. But the question becomes, can the Postal Service really maintain its renowned levels of service, and will it, should it, be privatized? It's been talked about for years, and with the Donald Trump presidency, is privatization in the future for our Postal Service? We've got an expert today joining me to talk about the present and the future of the U.S. Postal Service is Ruth Goldway. She's former chair of the Postal Regulatory Commission. And Ruth, thank you for being here. We've got questions.
Great. Happy to be here.
Hi. Thanks a lot. You know what? I want to start with the specific, what's going on here in the Bay Area, and then expand it out to what's happening with the Postal Service in general. Hopefully you can give us some insight in reading an article on Berkeley side and some entries on the online site next door. People are kind of up in arms, particularly in Berkeley. One person from Berkeley says you can't get anyone to help you with the late night delivery problems. She says the people in the post office might at most give you a number to call, but you can never reach an actual person. It's frustrating, and it should be unacceptable for a federal organization, especially one that people rely on a daily basis. People are saying also on Nextdoor that, let's see, one says she was shocked to get a delivery at 2 a.m. I heard someone walking on my porch with a flashlight and looked outside to see a mail person delivering packages. Another says, we have two kids and a dog, and the dog barks whenever the mail comes, wakes up the sleeping kids, and this is happening at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I don't know if you can respond specifically to what might be going on in Berkeley, Ruth, but if you can, please do.
Well, I don't think I can actually respond specifically to Berkeley, but I can tell you that letter mail service has deteriorated significantly over the last several years. Many reasons are for that. Financial concerns and various cutbacks. The biggest thing that the Postal Service did on its own was to reduce the standards by which it is obligated to deliver mail. So it used to be that fully a third of mail was overnight mail. You'd mail it somewhere, even if you mailed it in a big city in California, it would get on an airplane and would be delivered in New York the next day. And certainly within the metropolitan community that you lived in, it would all be next day delivery. But the Postal Service can set its own standards. Kind of confusing. The commission that I was on has to make sure that the Postal Service meets its standards, but the standards are things that they set, and they have rolled back those standards so that the vast majority of mail now is not expected to be delivered except within 3 days rather than overnight. There's still some portion, if you're in a metropolitan area like San Francisco, that may be required to be delivered to Berkeley overnight. But most mail isn't. So if you've dropped something in the mailbox to pay a bill, you got to figure 3 days now to get that bill paid. And that's what's happening across the whole country. So just plan for lower standards. And the Postal Service is trying to meet those standards, but according to the Postal Regulatory Commission's report this last year, it has not even been meeting those standards as well as it should. And part of the problem has to do with the enforced savings that it's put into place over the last half a dozen years.
Well, let's get into that.
Healthcare Retiree Benefit Fund.
I think
before
that is critical.
Fund,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let me just say that one of the savings that they did was to significantly increase the number of temporary employees. And those temporary employees are not as familiar with the roots. They're switched from root to root. They can work overtime and, you know, days that in a row that wouldn't necessarily be possible for a regular mail carrier. So mail service is deteriorating from an operational point of view because of the reduction in standards and the change in the way it's actually being handled on the street, with many mail carriers not doing the top-level job that they used to do.
I don't know about our listeners, but I find this to be striking, and it seems to have happened right under our noses. And so for anyone who's had a problem getting their mail delivered, we want to hear from you. How has your mail service changed? Have you noticed a change? Because clearly what you are describing, Ruth Goldway, is a pretty fundamental change in how we should expect for this longstanding service to function. So to our callers, have you been having problems with your mail? And what is a fair standard of service? What should we expect? Have you changed how the service is used?
As service standards have deteriorated, more and more people rely on electronic communications. And the kinds of communications that they get in the mail are considered not as essential. And people are willing to wait, it appears, from the general response you get, the extra day or two for mail. But if your listeners think differently, by all means, they should let you know, and they should let their Congress people know, so that the Postal Service is put under some pressure to increase its performance. One other thing I should mention is that you were talking about the late night deliveries. That's in large part because the Postal Service has made this huge effort to increase its package business, which is, in fact, helping them financially. They're making more money by being part of a growing industry as opposed to just being part of the mailing industry where letter mail is declining. But in order to accommodate the package business, they fill up their trucks with packages, which take a lot longer to deliver. And given the Postal Service's internal distribution system, if the letter carrier is waiting for packages before he or she goes out on the street, they wait longer. So it used to be that the letter carrier would start delivery at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. Now they don't start delivery till 12, sometimes 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because they're waiting for all those packages to come in. And that pushes back the delivery time window as well. And occasionally, I know it's been late because there are people on double shifts and things get backed up. I've had problems in Washington, D.C. where that happened, but then they figured something out and we didn't have that problem after a while. So perhaps some complaining can make things better if you think there's a particular neighborhood that's got a problem with late night mail.
Well, we want to invite anyone who seems to be having problems with their mail service and who've been wondering just what is going on. We've got the answers with Ruth Goldway, former chair of the Postal Regulatory Commission. Give us a call, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And actually, we have full lines. It turns out maybe it's not just central to Berkeley. So if you don't mind, Ruth, we're going to start by trying to answer some folks' questions. We have Brian on the line. Hi, Brian from Richmond. Okay, let's go to our next caller and find out if they're having trouble with their postal service. Hi, welcome.
I'm not hearing them.
Okay, let's move along. Again, 866-798-8255. If you have a question, there are actually signs, Ruth, showing up in Berkeley saying, "Save our post office." Maybe
that's another issue. I do know about the building, the post office building, the postal that the community's been trying to save in Berkeley. That's another whole issue, saving post office buildings, which the Postal Service has been very bad about.
Yeah, they've actually been kind of auctioning off those resources. We now have another guest who is going to join us. He's Brian Renfro. He's Director of City Delivery for the National Association of Letter Carriers. So I'm sure he'll be able to shed some light on some of the struggles by letter carriers themselves. He's a second-generation letter carrier who started his career in Mississippi. So glad you could be here, Brian. Thanks for joining Ruth Goldway and me on your call.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. So once again, Ruth was talking a bit about some of the systemic issues. Can you talk about it from the point of view of a letter carrier? What's going on? Why are people getting their mail late, if not, and not at all? What's going on? Has there been a fundamental shift in how our mail is being handled on the ground?
Well, I heard some of what Ruth said earlier, and I apologize if I'm a bit repetitive, but I think it's important to go back and begin with where she started, with the reduction in service standards, which the Postal Service, within the statute, certainly had the right to do legally, and that definitely created some challenges with the mail processing networks and as she mentioned, actually getting the mail to the stations and the post offices in the morning for our letter carriers to deliver. But I think the larger issue that we should first recognize is that the Postal Service over the last 3 years has been operationally profitable. And you mentioned in the opening I heard about the requirement to pre-fund health benefits. And going back to 2006 when the Postal Accountability Enhancement Act was passed, it put a requirement on the Postal Service to pre-fund 75 years worth of retiree benefits in a 10-year period, which resulted in a payment each year of $5 to $6 billion. That payment is something that no other government agency or private company, for that matter, is required to do. And as the Postal Service is, certainly the business has changed with the boom in e-commerce and parcel delivery, but the revenue is picked up, and they're in a position where operationally we're profitable. So that's really the big underlying issue that needs to be addressed. I can get into a little bit of what I know about what's going on in the Bay Area. This is something that we, over the last couple of years, have worked really closely with the Postal Service to address in a number of locations where we have issues with letter carriers being out on the street late at night. We have issues with certainly the customer service end of that when someone, either doesn't get their mail for an extended period of time or they receive their mail later in the evening. And then certainly our concern is the longer hours being worked and being out after what we would call traditional delivery hours could certainly be a safety issue for the letter carrier. And this is something that the Postal Service, at least from the higher levels, our counterparts we work with at headquarters, are committed to resolving. And we have been through a process of evaluation of what's causing these issues in several different locations. Those that we started in Chicago, we've done New York, we've done Los Angeles, we've made quite a bit of progress, and we're in the process of doing that in the San Francisco, Oakland, the whole Bay Area. So, and typically what we find is staffing challenges, which are, caused by a number of different things. We also sometimes find some difficulties with our processing end of things, and we see that some of those problems are also present there. So we're in the process in the short term. The Postal Service is aggressively hiring to beef up the staffing and hopefully alleviate some of the immediate issues. But really what we want to do is ultimately find long-term solutions that are lasting and put us in a place where we're able, to handle some of the difficulties that come throughout parts of the year. Recently, in that Bay Area, what we've seen is sort of the perfect storm between the election mail volume. It's a very affluent area overall, so the parcel volume is heavy and created a really difficult situation over the last several weeks. Excuse me. So I think going forward, we're in a position that we'll work with the Postal Service. We'll be able to make quite a bit of progress there and hopefully position the post offices there locally, the letter carriers, to be able to provide the service, within our normal delivery hours and keep our letter carriers safe out on the street.
Well, both you and Ruth have talked about the systemic problem that may result from the fact that the U.S. Postal Service doesn't get any money from Congress. Do I understand that correctly? Plus, they have a requirement to fund their retirement plan 75 years into the future. So what I think I hear you saying is that the post office is actually making a profit, but have saving requirements laid out by Congress that are causing it to be running in the red. Is that what I hear you saying? I mean, Ruth, you can answer that, or Brian.
Well, Brian certainly is just as knowledgeable as I, but the bottom line is that provision, which was put into the law and started in effect in 2007, by 2010 became untenable, and it was used as an excuse for all kinds of cutbacks and reductions in service and holding back on wage growth and selling post offices. When those of us who were concerned about the quality of life of our workers and the quality of the product thought that this was the wrong decision to make. Now, with the Postal Service in fairly good financial shape as a result of the growth in the package industry, and a general return to the general economic health, we think that the Postal Service is itself in a position to start fighting back against this onerous requirement. And there is some legislation bubbling around in Congress. The letter carriers have come up with some very positive, innovative ideas. Whether any of that will happen now that we have a new president is just hard to tell. One hopeful sign is that this president doesn't seem as hung up on balancing the budget and what we call the sequester, and this funding for the health care retiree benefit fund got caught up in this question of whether it would be raising the deficit. So maybe we'll get a little more flexibility to get rid of this burden. On the other end, maybe not. And I think if people are concerned about the future of the Postal Service, they have to work with people like the letter carriers and the communities in Berkeley that are interested in service and be vigilant about potential changes that might happen in the future.
Well, speaking of postal carriers, we have one on the line, Raul from Daly City. Hi, Raul. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I am late to your program. Do you have the union there speaking also?
No, we don't have a union representative, but as a carrier, is there something that you think that we should know from the union's perspective?
I think it's good to have the union. They tell us we are not allowed to say anything to anyone about how the conditions or the postal service does its work. We are not allowed to speak. So I should very strongly think you should have someone from the union who can tell you many other stories.
All right.
But I know the post office is doing very good with money now. Money is not a problem.
Well, Raul, that's what our guests are saying too. That there, it's not a problem of solvency. That the Postal Service is actually doing quite well, but it might be being strangled in other ways. Ruth,
you're
thinking?
I think that the Letter Carriers Union and the APWU, American Postal Workers Union, are both very active in Washington in trying to direct the legislative debate and also in trying to work on suggestions for changes. I think the Postal Service itself has been, in the last year or so, with its new Postmaster General, much more responsive to positive suggestions for change. And they are making some money. It's not a lot of money. You know, they're still, even if they didn't have to pay the health care benefit, they still have to pay for workman's compensation. And because interest rates are so low, the carrying value of their regular pensions is a little more difficult. So life isn't an easy street on the postal service side at all. They still have some financial concerns. And even if we could get rid of this health care benefit, we still want to make sure that they thrive. But I would agree that it might well be that somebody from the unions could give you a better sense of how responsive the Postal Service is to this service standard issue. It's good to hear that there have been responses. As I said, my own experience in Washington, D.C. when I was living there was that they did solve our nighttime delivery problem. So it could well be that if your community is motivated, they'll speed up the adjustments that are necessary to get rid of the night mail problem. But the general question of a longer time for it to take mail to be delivered and the later in the day delivery are not going to go away. Those things are fixed into the system now, given the emphasis on packages and the decrease in service standards the Postal Service allowed itself in order to save money.
Well, Ruth, we know that you have to leave us shortly, so I'm going to try to squeeze in a couple of questions that you might be uniquely positioned to answer before we have to let you go. One person is writing to us and says that they are concerned because they have mail delivery after 2 a.m., and they think that it's A, because the assets are being sold off, and so the emphasis on customer service just is no longer there. What is your response to that?
Well, it's a little complicated. As I said, a lot of this nighttime delivery is because of the emphasis on packages and the leeway that the Postal Service gave itself not to put its as much mail on airplanes and to have it go by truck, which also means that it gets stuck in traffic and doesn't get there as quickly as it might. And their reliance on temporary workers or a lower class of worker to get things done and those workers are not necessarily as familiar with the routes, and they can get lost. There's a turnover on those employees, so there are a lot of structural things that happen. But I think if there is this 2 a.m. in the morning problem, that's something that can be addressed. And I would certainly urge people to contact Ronald Stroman, who's the Deputy Postmaster General at the Postal Service, who's in charge of customer relations. And you can get him at the USPS.com website and have him make it a priority to put the Berkeley area at the top. With regard to facilities, that's probably true, that the Postal Service has reduced the number of facilities, which slows down its distribution network. So, on the other hand, they think that it's made the distribution network more efficient in terms of cost and more like what's done in the private sector. They believe that if they can get the systems right after this reduction, that they'll be able to upgrade their service. I don't know. What they're saying is that this is a transition period. They've reduced the number of distribution points and sorting centers throughout the country, and they think that once they get the systems right, that service will go back up. I just don't know if that's the case. If you're concerned about post office buildings, your local post office, the Postal Service went through a period of selling off some of its iconic buildings, including those in New York City and in Los Angeles. The citizens of Berkeley were very strong about it, and I think they've stopped the sale of that building. Citizens in La Jolla, who were quite wealthy, were able to come up with a foundation to buy the building. But those post offices, while they're beautiful and serve a very important community and commercial function are not really the reason that the mail is lower. It's the sorting facilities that you've never seen that are in the background in the middle of the country and near airports, etc., that have been reduced in number and may be slowing down the system.
Well, we want to thank you for being here with us, Ruth. We know that we only had you for 30 minutes,
yes,
so
right.
Thank you so much. A lot of insight.
Well, thanks for your call and your interest, and please encourage all your consumers to make their voices heard.
Will do. Okay. Will do. And thanks for the information.
Sure.
And we're going to stay with Brian Renfro, Director of City Delivery for the National Association of Letter Carriers. And we have several calls from people who are very concerned about the future of the Postal Service and about this vital service that we've come to expect in the U.S. We've also got a response from the Postal Service, and we'll be bringing that to you right after the break. Stay with us.
This is Your Call on KALW, a show that relies on engaged listeners. You can join today's conversation by calling 866-798-8255. That's toll free, 866-798-8255. And you can post a comment or question at yourcallradio.org or tweet us at yourcallradio. How much does Facebook influence your views on the news? We'll take a look at, talk to social media experts, including a former Facebook worker on BBC's World. Have Your Say 1/2 hour from now at 11 o'clock here on 91.7 KALW.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us now, I'm Renee Kemp, sitting in for Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. We're podcasting the show. You can find out more information at yourcallradio.org, and you can listen to past shows and share there. What's coming up next on the next Your Call? Remember the nasty woman comment during the campaign and the pantsuit nation movement? How is it possible with all of those memes? How did gender play a role in the 2016 elections? There were projections that we would have our first woman president. Well, we don't. So what led to Hillary Clinton's unsuccessful bid, and what are the challenges that are facing female candidates? It'll be Your Call. That's tomorrow with me, Renee Kemp, and you. Thanks for coming back with us. Today we're talking about the struggle to keep the U.S. Postal Service healthy, and still with us on the line is Brian Renfro. He's Director of City Delivery for the National Association of Letter Carriers. And as we head into the heavy mailing system for season for Christmas, there are a lot of concerns. We've got several people on the phone. This is what we've heard so far from the Postal Service. The Postal Service's goal is consistent on-time delivery, although sometimes circumstances such as mail volume, staffing, or transportation delays cause delivery to be later in the day. We encourage customers to share their concerns, their comments, and their compliments with us. Let's go to someone who's in Berkeley. She's in the 94707. Andrea, thanks for staying with us. Hi, welcome.
Thank you very much for taking my call, and I very much appreciate this subject. I've been frustrated with the USPS since January of 2016, when my excellent full-time carrier retired and was not replaced. What's been happening since then is apparently a full-time carrier does their own route and starts on my route after they're done, usually at about 4 p.m. By the way, I don't blame the carriers at all. It's obvious to me that these are decisions that have been made by the USPS. I found very enlightening what I heard about the relaxation of standards. When I've talked to carriers in the neighborhood, they've told me that there's no requirement that the mail arrive at any preset time. What's happening now for the past few months is that my mail has been arriving at 9 p.m. or later, and on several occasions, not at all. And I find that this profit-driven experience where full-time carriers are never replaced, I was told that they weren't hiring full-time, is just unacceptable. This is a federal issue, and I believe that we have a right to get our mail at a reasonable time. And for me, 9:30 or 10 at night is not a reasonable time. My experience, unfortunately, and I'm very happy to hear Brian on the line, is that the USPS, through their website and at local post offices, is completely unresponsive. I've called the local supervisor of letter carriers. He never answers his phone. His calls are not returned. His messages are not returned. I filled out a contact us email with the USPS. They said that they would get back to me within 3 days. Never heard back from them. It's not a situation that I feel is tenable, and I feel that the USPS's attitude structurally is too relaxed for my taste in terms of public service. I'll stop now and look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Brian. Are the public's expectations of the U.S. Postal Service fair and realistic? I mean, this is a service that delivers 6, now sometimes 7 days a week, virtually everywhere in this massive country. Are those expectations reasonable or even sustainable?
I think they're absolutely reasonable and sustainable. Renee, if I could, before we move to Andrea's question, the letter carrier, Raul, that called earlier asked about the union. I just want to make clear that I am one of the national officers for the NALC that represents city letter carriers. So this is the union speaking, the letter carriers union.
All right.
As far as Andrea's concerns, we share their same concerns, and the Postal Service does too, certainly from the headquarters level that we deal with in Washington. So exactly the problems she brought up about not replacing a regular carrier, those are the type things we go in and we evaluate, we look at, and we try to make quite a bit of progress jointly with the Postal Service. And as I mentioned earlier, we've had quite a bit of success. It's funny, when Ruth was on, she mentioned in D.C., where she lives, these similar problems were taking place a couple of years ago, and they got quite a bit better, and that was a direct result of the same process that I described earlier. We did in the Washington area, and we'll be using that same process in the Bay Area, and we're confident we'll make the same positive improvements.
Okay, let's go to Mark in San Francisco. Hi, Mark.
All right. Hello. Before my actual question, I'd like to interject a question comment, which is, just to push back a little bit, this business of mail delivery later in the day, I don't really get what the problem is with that. I don't really care when my mail arrives, and I think of all the things to have trouble with, that doesn't seem to me to be a big problem. The question that I called about is, I get an enormous amount of junk mail in my mailbox, and I immediately throw it away. I get big mailers that are wrapped around my very comparatively small amount of actual mail. And during the election season, oh, my God, these huge mailers from all of the political candidates and measures that I immediately throw in the garbage. I don't look at them. This seems to be a waste of resources, and I don't really understand the purpose of it. Is that, I'd like to understand why that happens.
Brian, any insights? Because I think there was an opportunity for people to opt out of junk mail, and yet even those who have opted out seem to still be getting reams of it.
Well, it could be that they had the opportunity to opt out from an individual mailer, you know, not receive a catalog, for example, from a particular retailer. I think it's all in the eye of the beholder. There are those that look forward to it, and then certainly we treat all our customers, the Postal Service does, the same, whether that's a large mailer that does quite a bit of advertising, or that's just a citizen that sends a letter to a friend or family member. So the Postal Service fills the needs of all our customers, whatever their needs may be.
You know, the Postal Service employs like 600,000 people. If there are staffing issues, why is that the case? Is that not enough? Why is there so much backfill during the holidays if temporary workers are inefficient or not trained sufficiently, and that leads to some of the problems? Why is 600,000 not enough?
Well, I think overall, the number of letter carriers anyway, which is my area of expertise, is pretty well suited to the needs of the Postal Service right now. You do have individual situations where you may see particular post offices or even groups of post offices in a city that might face staffing challenges for different reasons. It depends on the job market there locally. Sometimes you have an unusually high attrition rate, lots of retirements, that sort of thing. There's times when you may have a number of, you know, letter carriers. Many of them are veterans, and lots of times they go off on military leave or maybe they go to active National Guard duty. But there's a lot of different possibilities when it comes to staffing. It's very rarely where we face staffing challenges an issue of we simply just don't have enough people. So what we try to do in working with the Postal Service is really get down to finding the root causes of those problems and doing what we can do to address them. But overall, it's more, I think, in the Bay Area, much more of a localized problem than it is a national problem staffing-wise.
All right. Speaking of staffing, let's go to Ted in Daly City. You're a retired mail carrier. Hi. Good morning. Hi, Ted. Are you there?
Is this Tony? I'm in San Francisco.
Okay. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I worked for the post office for about 35 years, and we used to have route examinations to evaluate what an eight-hour day would be. And what would happen is the day of the route examination, you didn't get any mail. And I had this one route for about 10 years. I knew it very well. And I had two doctors at this one home. And they used to get a half a tub of mail every day. And for about a block, there wasn't one piece of mail. That had never happened in 10 years, including the two doctors. They got no mail that day. I went to a building that would get like three tubs of mail, and it got like a half a tub of mail. So what do? They say, well, you don't have an eight-hour day. No, I didn't. I had about a 10-hour day. Every day was 10 hours. So they added on to it. And, I mean, it got to the point where you were running all day and trying to get finished with the job, but it was almost impossible. And the packages, it just got to be ridiculous. I mean, I just left the packages at the door because I didn't have time to leave a notice and then come back to redeliver the package. So I would just leave them at the door and everything.
So, Brian,
many people complained about that.
Okay, systemic inefficiencies, Brian.
I think his point, and he's sort of speaking letter carrier language, but he brings up a good point that's important, and that point is that when you look at staffing, what you see is, as I mentioned earlier, not just the number of people, but also that the assignments, the way they're divided up among the employees, are adjusted in such a way that it gives them that kind of normal 8 hours of work each day. So that's an important piece that we also work with the Postal Service, and we'll certainly be taking a close look at that in San Francisco and then also in the other areas in the Bay Area that may be experiencing some of these troubles. So we'll certainly get in there and take a really close look at how each assignment's adjusted.
All right. Let's go to Judy in San Francisco. Hi, Judy.
I wanted to tell you about a friend of mine who worked for the post office. This used to be a really great job. It's become an absolute torture. On Saturday, I was going to visit him in the evening. He had been working since 8 o'clock in the morning, or 8:30 or something, and I went to visit him at 8:30. No. He had been working like 10 hours. Or 11 hours or something already, and he was still at work. And the reason for this, I think, is that a government service that should be, you know, based on taxes and not have to not have to make its own profit, is being forced to, break even, and also that they're pre-funding this retirement service, this retirement health care, 75 years, which is ridiculous. And because of this, the post office has laid off so many people that the ones who are left are doing the jobs of three. I think they're trying to force people out in early retirement so that they can keep hiring temps who are not benefited. I think it's just a terrible, terrible injustice to us, the public, and also to the poor workers who are suffering injuries, mental health issues, and all kinds of other terrible things.
David, I mean, can you talk a bit about whether this is a deliberate attempt to undermine the efficiency of the Postal Service, Brian, perhaps in order to justify privatizing it?
Well, I feel very confident saying that that's not the case from the Postal Service leadership. I mean, certainly there's an ideology among some in Congress and others that may be involved that would use any potential avenue to move toward privatization. But I can tell you in the strongest possible terms, speaking for the letter carriers, that the Postal Service was established in a constitution. It's a public service. We believe it's it is a viable, necessary service going into the future, both for what's going on with e-commerce and growing. And then, there's still a need for that baseline first-class mail and using the sort of robust delivery network that we have around the country. And it's easy for some to look in, maybe populated urban areas and say that the Postal Service, maybe there's others that in certain circumstances could serve the American people in the same way. But when we really get into rural areas and just looking at, the ability to communicate with something, a physical piece, it really anywhere in this country we think it's a national treasure and it's something that we want to continue as a public service that has been self-sustaining and continue to do so. And as I mentioned about the operational profit that's going on over the last two or three years, and we expect that just to continue to grow.
Well, maybe not surprisingly, Brian, we've got tons of emails. I'm not going to read them all, but people from Oakland, Berkeley, Santa Clara saying that they're getting their mail much later than usual, and they're just confused because it seems to be so sudden. Is there any reason why people are noticing it now and not before?
I mentioned earlier that this area in particular, and it's not just this area, there were other areas of the country, really hit the perfect storm when it came to the election mail, which was, I think, mentioned by one of the callers earlier. Those that live in some locations certainly saw quite a bit of political mail. Combined with the beginning of our holiday, what we call in postal terms the peak season, it kind of starts in mid to late October. The question is, was there a reason that it didn't happen earlier? I think it's just a combination of circumstances. And look, I'm trust me when I tell you that there's nobody that wants to provide the service on time and at the highest possible level more than letter carriers. And I can say the same is true for the Postal Service's leadership. And as I've mentioned previously, I feel very confident that we'll be able to make some progress and put them in that area, the Postal Service, in a position where this won't happen again.
Certainly, one of the things that people have complained about over the years is the fact that postage continues to go up. What can we expect from that? May it go up again next year? And I understand that it's actually, ours is one of the least expensive postal rates in the world. Is it possible we're just not paying enough and don't know it?
It is absolutely true that the Postal Service provides the most affordable and the best service of really any postal service in the world. The rates going forward is a matter of, there's a whole rate setting process, which I won't get into and bore the listeners. And they are tied to certain indexes, and it's really dependent on what happens with a number of other factors, and then obviously in some sort of legislative action could potentially address the rate. So It's probably reasonable to expect what we would see in the near future with rates will be very similar to what we've seen over the past few years.
Okay. Let's go to Ernest. Hi, Ernest.
Hi, Lou.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, one of my major concerns is the service standards. The service standards change the time limits on delivering mail. In the Oakland area, and a first-class letter at one point in time within the last 4 years is an overnight delivery. You mail it today, your neighbor get the letter tomorrow. Now it's 4 days.
And you're a retired postal worker, so you know whereof you speak.
Right. I mail a letter to a friend of mine on a Monday. She got it Friday morning. That's not right inside of the city of Oakland. The service standards cause a lot of mail to be held in buildings for whatever reason or whatever. When I was employed there, one of my major jobs was to make certain that mail did not stay in the same place more than a matter of hours. My duty was to find the mail, get its position, the type of mail it was, and then I would put a number on that particular piece of equipment. And it shouldn't be there when I come back 2 or 3 hours later. And there was some, at that particular time, there was a particular department that made certain that mail did not stay in the building. After the service standards were changed, many people could, a customer could mail a letter today. If the collector had passed by and collected for that day, that mail stayed in the building all night. Normally, first-class mail is not supposed to stay locked in any building overnight.
So, Brian, can you respond to that, please? Because what you're saying is part of what we're seeing is an increase in mailings because of the election. Well, that's over. But now here comes the Christmas holiday. Should we just change our expectation for the long term, or is this temporary?
I absolutely believe it's temporary. I think that it's very reasonable, as one of the callers mentioned earlier, to expect a high level of service, and I'm also confident that we'll get a high level of service. You know, a comment about Ernest as a retired postal worker, and I think those that are hopefully the listeners see with the couple of letter carriers that have been on the phone, just the passion that postal employees have for delivering that service. And with the Postal Service at the highest levels committed, I think, to fixing these problems like you unfortunately are experiencing in the Bay Area, I'm very confident that going forward, we'll be able to address these issues and provide that high level of service consistently.
Okay, I think we have time for another call. Welcome to your call.
Hello.
Hi, go right ahead.
Oh, I'm in San Francisco, and I live two blocks from my local post office. And for the last 2 years, our mail delivery time has been extremely sketchy, sometimes infrequently. It comes in the a.m., very infrequently, but usually it's after 6 o'clock at night. And this has been going on for, as I say, the best part of the last 2 years. We've talked to several temporary workers, and as well as our old regular people that we see on different routes now. And they all complain that, you know, they're overworked and lots have been released early. The other thing is, I think with the current temperature in Washington and the Congress, privatization is, I think, looming. They've done this necessity to fund early in an effort to cripple the post office. And I can only think that with the new administration, it's going to be even worse. I don't see this as a temporary problem, and I wonder how your guest would respond to that.
Yes, Brian, actually, we've gotten tons of emails that are responding in just that way. Judy says, I live in Oakland, getting my mail 10:30 p.m. to 1 o'clock in the morning, even no delivery, at least one day a week, not getting any mail at all. The problems are rampant. How do you respond?
Well, I do think that there are certainly those in Congress that have that ideology of privatization, not just with the Postal Service, you know, with lots of public services. I do not, however, think that that is related to the issues that are being experienced, you know, by your listeners that have emailed in or called. Certainly not directly connected. And again, I'm very confident we can address those. And then, you know, while the threat of privatization has always been somewhat present, for the most part in Congress, we see quite a bit of bipartisan support for the Postal Service as a public service, and that's something that we'll, you know, certainly there's a lot of unknown going into the, you know, the Congress and with the White House in the future, but it's something that we look forward to working with Congress and also with the White House to strengthen that public service going forward and get these issues addressed. I think they can be addressed through some of the similar processes I mentioned earlier that we've done in other cities. We can do the same thing in that area.
And with just a minute or so left, Brian, can you give people hope that after the big Christmas rush that things will get better, that they'll start getting their mail at the normal time again? Or is this something that we should look to at least for the foreseeable future?
I think we should see some improvement in the near future. The improvement is typically incremental. It's not normally something that changes overnight because sometimes we have to make some pretty significant operational changes. But again, I'm confident that we'll see it going forward. And I just encourage your listeners in the community that whenever you experience these issues and like we unfortunately do from time to time, to just keep in mind the importance of having that robust public service going forward, and stay tuned to postal issues and support that public service.
All right, Brian Renfro, National Association of Letter Carriers, thank you so much. Earlier, we were joined by Ruth Goldway, former chair of the Postal Regulatory Commission. Thank you so much for your calls and emails. Clearly, this one struck a nerve. Sorry we couldn't get to all of you, but hope you'll join us tomorrow. I'm Renee Kemp, sitting in for Rose Aguilar. This is Your Call. On the next Your Call, from Nasty Woman to Pantsuit Nation, how did gender play a role in the 2016 elections? Polls certainly projected, and many expected, the U.S. to elect its first woman president. But GOP women didn't break party lines. Despite charges of sexism, Republican women stayed the course. What does Hillary Clinton's unsuccessful bid say about the challenges female candidates face? It's Your Call, with me, Renee Kemp, and you.
Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Laura Flynn produces the show, Malihe Razazan is senior producer, Matt Martin is executive producer, and Helena Murphy is our intern and researcher. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Kevin Vance is our studio engineer. Our theme music is performed and composed by Live Human. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.